You're listening to Dude Podcast with JC and Will. Put some pep in that step. Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm JC.
I'm Will.
And I'm Jason. You are listening to the Dude Podcast.
Yeah! Oh, yeah!
Nailed it.
So, I am so thrilled, Jason. You know what's ridiculous is I'm not even kidding. First of all, it shocks me that anybody listens to what we do at all, which it's not that many. It's not like hordes of people. There are a few people. But literally, when I was in Tulsa last week, I had two or three people that do listen. And they,
your mom and your dad, right?
My mom and my dad. No, we the Laura and ZJ, Dave Crow, and then there was like somebody else who approached me, and they were like, "You gotta get Jason on. You have to get like they like slammed me up. They like slammed me up against the wall, and they were like, "If you don't get Jason, I'm gonna figure out a way to poison you." And I'm like, "Gosh, dang it! I gotta get Jason on the." On the pod, and you are hilarious. Like I do often realize you're like one of the more ridiculous human beings that I know. I've had the pleasure of getting to know.
I do say strange things. That's for sure.
It's a miracle. I always think to myself, it is a miracle that you're still with us and your wife hasn't killed you at this point.
I'm so surprised she hasn't left me after all these years. You know, been a long time since our first date. Eighth grade or so of 2004. So it's been a journey to say the least, but she's a patient woman, no doubt.
There's no doubt. So Jason, talk a little bit about where you're Stillwater native? You're from Stillwater? Where do you hail from? Where were you born?
From conceived. God's country. Conceived there in Stillwater, okay. The Oklahoma State Cowboys, as you know, go Pokes. So I was raised there. Lived in Oklahoma City for a while, and now I'm in Tulsa with Will, right?
That's right. I'm here now.
He's in my parents' neighborhood. Did you not know this, Will?
Oh, yeah, that's right. You grew up right near where I grew up.
Yeah, neighbors to Sue and Joel Sr.
Wow. So do you hang out with him on the regular?
It's been a while, yeah.
It gets even weirder, Will, where, like, my mom is the school nurse at Darnaby and is taking care of Jason's kiddos a couple of times. And one of my favorites, and one of my favorite stories about your like son. There was one time, like the kid, they've come over a couple of times and they know Nurse Crumb. And Jason's oldest son, Jason's oldest daughter, like you can tell it's Jason and Brianne's offspring. It looks like Brianne and has sort of a mischievous attitude of Jason. It just makes sense. But then they have this second child that's like, it's not Jason's kid. Like, it's very clearly like Brianne cheated on Jason with somebody else, and it's somebody else's.
My neighbor has curly hair. Let's just say that.
He's got this beautiful, flowy, he looks like a little cherub. Like a little angel cherub. He doesn't.
The curls are amazing. There's no doubt.
Beautiful child. Does not look like. Actually, really doesn't look like Brianne either. But.
And he sneaks into bedrooms, right? He sneaks into bedrooms.
So this is the best. We were at my parents. There was like a pool party thing happening.
Just like his daddy.
Yeah. Just like his dad. There's this impromptu pool party thing at my parents' house, and I think it was my dad was like, he like saw like Crew, Jason's like youngest, just disappear into the house, and like everybody else is outside playing with other kids like they should, and Crew like shimmies up the stairs, and like my dad finds him like going through like filing cabinets in their like closet.
Tax returns, everything.
I think he tried to like rip up like tax information or something, and he was like putting it in like weird piles. It was very. My dad was like, because my dad's not good with like any sort of altercations with like children. He's not good at, so he's, I think he was just like, what are you doing? I think he was just like, you know, like work or whatever Kurt said. Cause apparently he just like, my dad like tried a couple times to like dissuade him from doing it. And he just kept going back. Like he had some sort of a job.
He was born the temptation. It's just a Carver problem, you know, no doubt.
It's a temptation. You're born in temptation. So you grew up in Stillwater. Was OSU always had to be an option, or was it one of those things where you were like, I kind of wanted to get out. I got to go see something else.
No. I wasn't accepted to any other school. I barely got into OSU.
Really?
Yeah.
But you were a good student in OSU, though, right? I remember you being really good, a good student.
Well, there's an awakening period there, you know, after sophomore year. But no, man, I was a bad student.
Really? I did not know that.
Yeah. I barely got into OSU. Barely.
That's shocking to me. You're saying, yeah, because yeah. You were such a nerd. I mean, you
were cute.
Weren't you like up there on the roll number of our pledge class? What was your?
I think I was midway, actually. 2024. I believe y'all were ahead of me.
I was 2025.
I was 2018, so you beat Will.
I was just in front of Will. I don't remember that, but yeah, you're right behind me then.
So you go, did you always want to be a vet?
No, not at all.
Do you even like animals?
What?
No, I decided probably junior year. So I got a job in a lab there at OSU, and we studied different bacteria inside the stomach of cows. So we would go out and get samples from them at the dairy barn at like 4 a.m. on Friday. Mikey, I stayed out with y'all probably till 12 or 1 most Thursday nights. So that's where it all started.
Because you dissected a cow's stomach? How does this opportunity present itself to you?
Well, there are certain cows that have holes in the side of their belly. So where you can unplug them, you can reach in the side of their stomach and get samples while they're alive. They're perfectly fine. It's like imagine being able to unplug and plug your belly button. And get food out.
But okay. So that, first of all, that's crazy in and of itself.
Yeah.
What do you mean? That was the inspiration. That was the thing that made you go, I think I want to do this. Jason, that's insane. First of all, people were like, oh, I've loved animals my whole life. I wanted to become a vet. Or, you know, I had some sort of like traumatic thing and the pet got me through it. And that's why I wanted to become a vet. So you literally just took a random class where you were sticking your hands in and out of cows' stomachs, and that is what made you go, I think I want to take care of animals for a living and go to way more school than anybody else.
This feels like a therapist should be here with us, like saying, like, let's dig deeper into that.
What's your problem?
there's nothing better than seeing the dog make someone happy.
I guess so, yeah.
That's what it's all about.
Oh, that's nice. That is nice.
Well, but prior to that, what were you thinking you were going to do?
Yeah.
I just was basically trying to pass the semester. There weren't any plans. This was going off the deep end, guys.
You came in, you barely got in, and then you were just winging it.
I seriously was.
I thought you always wanted to be, this is mind-blowing to me, because I thought you always wanted to be a vet.
No, Jace, I barely passed Comp 2.
That was a hard class.
You're talking two guys who barely passed Comp 2, too, so you're not, you don't have two brainiacs on the line here, so you're not going to, we're segueing.
Comp 2 was rough.
I came in way behind. You know, you had the Blake McGuire's of the world, number one pledge. You know, with goals in mind, you know, in a path. For me, no way. Had no idea.
So you figure out sophomore year that you want to be a vet. So let's even take another step back and talk about, how did you get connected to Beta? Because I felt like you had like an idea of what was kind of going on before some of us. I couldn't tell if it was a Stillwater thing or you had known people that kind of like groomed you coming into the beta, or how did you get aligned with beta?
Well, I got hooked up with beta through Eddie O'Rossi.
Eddie was our academic captain guy when we were going through pledge ship. Yeah. Smart guy, doctor.
He was a tough man, that Eddie.
He was a tough man.
He expected a lot out of us and still does, to be honest. So hopefully he's not listening to this.
He's just sitting there just shaking his head.
This is not for intellectuals, Jason.
He would be disappointed. I know he'd be disappointed in me.
But how would you describe beta when we were there? Because I think that's important to know, too.
I think it was like a beautiful mix of people, all good guys, you know, that I think we brought the best out of each other. And one thing that we were good at was we hung out together all the time, had a great time, you know, made it such a great experience to the point where people were wondering why we were hanging out all the time.
Yeah, it was fun, man. I loved it. It was just a bunch of weirdos that just like to hang out with each other and didn't necessarily feel pressure to do some of the other kind of traditional fraternity thing. And that's why I try to explain that to my wife all the time. And she's like, what? You guys did what? And I'm like, oh, yeah, we sang songs. We were really good at it, too. And like, that was what the hell?
Nope. There's no doubt. Yeah, it was just it made it such a better experience. I can't imagine doing it differently.
No, I completely agree.
You and I didn't know each other super well, Jason. We were friendly with each other, but I remember, and to be fair, I only went to OSU for 2 years and then I left. So,
yeah. Did you go play baseball, right?
Yeah, NAIA baseball.
So, there you go. That's what I thought, yeah.
But I remember, I think it was our freshman year. I'm sitting in my room and I don't remember who it was, but they said, dude, we need your help. I said, what? And I go downstairs and everyone's down there and they're going, where is he? Where is he? And I said, what's going on? They said, Jason just took all his clothes off. He's drunk and he's just running around. We can't catch him. He's just running around with the place. And you were like a ninja in the night. You would like be in the bushes and we'd be like, there he is! And we'd chase you all around the campus. You were naked. I think you were only wearing socks. And we were just like, where is he? You were like the fastest man alive.
Yes, I forgot about this. I think I made it all the way over to Pi Phi House.
Yeah, and it lasted for like 3 hours.
You were like hiding in the shadows.
You're like the gingerbread man.
Nobody saw me either.
No, I don't think. I mean, that was what was incredible was, again, you would just. I don't know where you would go. I mean, you're not exactly. You're a fairly pale, naked man. You would think someone would see you, but no one saw you. It was incredible.
I knew my way around campus. I just made it work where I couldn't be seen. But I totally forgot about that.
I don't know why I remember that. I just remember thinking like, when Jason drinks, he is like the stealthiest cat on the planet.
You had like superpowers. It was literally it started out as like, this is, I do remember this. It started out as like, oh, this is funny. Like, we're going to find him. And then it like slowly dawned on me, like, I don't think if like SEAL Team 6 could find this guy, like they couldn't bring you down. And like to the point where like you were like mocking us, like you'd be like making noises. It would be like, we had like 10 guys that were sober who were trying to find you. We couldn't find you. It was incredible.
I think I remember you all giving up and I just hid in the bushes for 30 minutes. No one tried to find me, completely naked.
It was like a game of capture the flag, except it was capture the naked Jason.
You're not getting my flag.
Yeah. Oh my God. I speaking of early beta things, I do want to talk a little bit about you're an individual who has always kind of come up with concepts or you know, these sort of things that stick. And I don't know, you would come up with an idea or calling something like an obscure name. And then it would become that thing. And that it's a unique ability for someone to be able to do that. there, I remember hearing a story about something called Hotel Habanero. It's called the Hotel Hop, right? The Hotel Habanero or Club Habanero. Club Habanero, excuse me.
Club Habanero, yeah.
Club Habanero. And people would start being, I'm going to the Club Habanero. I'm going to the Club Habanero. And we were so worried about, you know, drinking and being in a, you know, being, you don't want to get caught.
Being seen, yeah.
Being seen drinking. And so there was such a stigma around it that the only way really to if you want to get a couple drinks in, was we felt like the safest way was to sit in a parked car. Again, no one was driving. Sitting in a parked vehicle, like a block or so away, a couple blocks away.
A parking lot away.
Again, no one's driving. And we were drinking in the car. But why did you call it Club Habanero?
Well, the name really stuck because it got so freaking hot inside that old 97 Camry. You know, because we didn't always have the... Truly, just pure heat. I mean, we would be sweating. So I just, at the time, I thought, well, hot, Club Habanero. You know, from then on, it just stuck to the point where we had some guys continue throughout college. We kept it going, thought it was an actual place. Like, they would get ready and thought it was like an actual club where we would go, you know, talk to girls and do, you know, have drinks and whatnot. But literally, it started as a way to kind of get away. And it was just freaking hot in that old 97 Camry.
That's incredible.
You know, and do you remember the tinted windows had a 5% tint? So we could sit in that car and people would park next to us and put their books on top of the car because they had no idea we were in there. You could be kind of contained and be, I mean, it was the club, man. It was secret.
You guys were just giggling, watching people, telling stories. So, okay. So we got the Hotel Habanero, which is just, again, a staple, especially of the IOTA Pledge class.
Well, hold on a second. I want to hear what Jason's, I don't know, craziest, because we've been talking about memories of Jason, but Jason, you probably seen a lot of crazy things in beta. What was your memory that stuck out? I was like, that was an insane story.
And you, by the way, too, you're also welcome at this point, Jason, to say, by the way, JC, this is a story about you or something. You're welcome to throw that back in me as well, because I've been throwing them on you. So feel free if you got a couple in the hopper that you'd like to discuss.
My favorite stories are probably in regards to Blake McGuire. Specifically, freshman year when we all were in study hall one morning. And Blake had enjoyed himself the night prior and had fallen asleep in his boxers on the couch next to the fireplace there in study hall. And it was a morning where we were all requested to be there about 8:15, right, to get going. And we were blessed to see Blake asleep in his boxers on the couch in study hall. And I think his pants were in the atrium along with his shirt somehow. So that's what I'm.
Well, I always thought you were going to say one time in study hall, Mr. Blake McGuire, you know, he enjoyed dip, and he would often in study hall have dip, his cup where he would spit his, you know, dip juice or whatever you call
his
it,
waste.
And then he would have a drink. And in study hall, we just hear this. And we look over, and he had just chugged a bunch of his dip juice and threw up. Do you guys not remember this?
I think that must have been you and Blake there one late night.
It was great.
That's outstanding.
Oh.
And Will, he got your alarm because you had the alarm.
Yeah.
You being a deaf man, you had the alarm that would shake you. He would sleep through his alarm, so he had to get a alarm for hearing disabled, so that when it was shit, right?
Did he ask you, Will? about that?
Why I think, I remember he's like, man, I have a hard time waking up. What do you have? And I told him. But speaking of that alarm, apparently it was the talk of the fraternity for a lot of people because, and nobody, I think everyone's too afraid to like talk about it for whatever reason. But eventually, Eric Lee was my roommate freshman year, the second semester of freshman year. And I think he had enough of it. And I came. I came back from early class, and he goes, "Hey, man, that alarm, yeah, it's really, really, that's really cool. But can you not use it, and I'll just wake you up?" He goes, "He had enough of it." He goes, "Can you just, like, stop using it forever, and I'll just wake you up when you want me to forever?"
I think I would hear that alarm from the first floor. Because it would vibrate, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because we had the metal. It was those metal beds.
Yeah.
So it just was like this super. Like if it was the wood, that would have been one thing. But it was metal frame bed.
Oh, yeah.
So it would like shake the room.
Yeah. So people who are listening who don't know, I had an alarm that had this cord attached to it with like a little what looked like kind of like a hockey puck. And attach that cord, and you put that little hockey puck thing under your mattress, and it will the earth will quake when it goes off.
Where did you align the puck on your body?
Yeah, where did you align? That is important. Where did like you put the
lower back or yeah, the whole
like, that? Like where on the puck? Under the
on your butt? Like in your like where do?
What if I thought that's what it was? It's just like got to put this puck in my pants tonight. Gotta be up at 6.
Might be onto something there.
Might injure yourself. That was a pretty aggressive shaking. You might hurt yourself, you know, doing it that way.
It was intense. I don't use it anymore, but it was intense.
How do you wake today?
I sleep with a hearing aid because I have kids. I gotta be ready to wake up when they wake up.
So we talked a little bit about this on the last pod that's about to be released. You would wear these like, they looked like gardening gloves. You would wear like, tell me what is your condition that you have? And then we're going to then transition from that into the Jergens and what the Jergens is.
Yeah. So I think they're 180 thread count cotton gloves. And
are these specialty gloves?
You say thread count. So are these like old Victorian ladies' gloves, like that go down your elbows?
That would be nice. I would love to get a pair of those. These are just to the outside of the palm, and I had to wear these gloves because my hands would literally disintegrate on me if I didn't. I have the driest skin you could ever imagine.
It's just your hands?
Drier than like a bearded dragon.
Like just, is it just your hands? Is it, what condition is it? When did you discover this?
What is the illness? Like what have you been diagnosed?
Eczema.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so maybe your child has had it before. Maybe not, I don't know. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it, but
I've heard of eczema, but I've never heard it on your hands.
Yeah, isn't that unfortunate? So it has been on other parts of my body at different times. So that's also unfortunate. But the gloves, it started just to keep things hydrated. You know, I could look like a freak.
Thank God your integrity was intact with gardening gloves before you go to bed. Just
so I would literally take bag balm. You know, like your old grandma's green jars of bag balm. It's like Vaseline.
Yeah.
They would literally put it on crack adders, like farmers would. I take a handful of that, lather up, throw the gloves on.
Cracked udders crack? Do udders get dry like that?
Yeah, dairy cattle get dry dips, and they can crack. So
I had no idea they got dry dips.
Oh, man. I tell you what, they sure can't. Mastitis, it's even worse.
Oh my God. That's awful. So you would wear, did you have this condition in high, because I feel like.
No.
I, Okay, it just appeared. Literally your freshman year, you're trying to make an impression to all these new friends, and you have to go to sleep with gloves on. Well, I'll tell you, you rocked it. You rocked it, and you seemed more like I was the weirdo for asking you. I was like, dude, what? I have to ask, because you'd go to, I'd notice it. I'd be like, what's up? And you're like, I got a thing. I got dry hands. And you were so matter of fact, you owned it, dude. You seemed so confident, and it was very impressive.
Can I ask a question? Why at night? Like, how? Why at night? Why not during the day? What are you doing during the day that preserves your hands?
During the day, you know, one thing that's tough is when you've got a bunch of Vaseline or lotion on your hands, and you go shake somebody's hand or give them a high five, they just look at you like you're crazy. So the only time to really make things right is when you're sleeping. So, I mean, it's really embarrassing to do that during the day. So I had to really think about, when can I get things done? When can I get right? And it was when I was sleeping.
So do you still hydrate like crazy?
Well, thankfully, they've had newer breakthroughs with different topicals and meds. So I've been under control for a while. So the gloves, you know, I'm backing off the gloves quite a bit, to be honest.
God bless. So, God bless.
I'm sorry. This just reminded me of another weird Jason thing that I have to talk about.
Just keep following up.
We have to keep. This is what there is another thing. So Jason, again, what we've learned is Jason had no idea he wanted to be a vet. He came to this realization sophomore year at, you know, late at night. And then he became this unbelievably studious. I mean, again, we didn't see you, dude. I didn't see you for like a good chunk of time because you were studying. You were such a good student, man. You were like, you were kicking butt, you know, studying almost like about one or two nights, maybe one or two nights you get it going. But you were like always at the library, always trying to become a world-class vet, man. You were kicking butt, man. But one of my favorite things was we all lived. I had the pleasure of living with Jason in this house that we deemed the rat hole. I can't remember if you ended up staying at that house at any point, but like
part of the you visited form, Will. I'm pretty sure Will visited.
I think you did visit.
Yeah, I believe I did.
Part of that house was like falling in, caving in on itself. It had like one bathroom. I mean, the condition of this house was disgusting. But one of my favorite weird memories, obscure memories about Jason is Jason had a coat rack. He had this coat rack and he had, I am not kidding, Will, he must have had 20 North Faces on this stinking coat rack. And I think I only saw you use like two, but like you had so many North Faces. And I was just always perplexed at why you had so many North Faces. And also like this coat rack, like it didn't matter what time of the year it was. It was like summer and the coat rack was there and it would move and there would be more coats like compiling throughout the year. And it was just this bizarre thing where I was just like, what is this? Why do we have this? Why are there so many? Why do you own so many North Faces, for God's sakes?
No, we needed to at the rattle. It snowed inside the house.
It did snow.
It just snowed in the living room.
Yeah. I forgot about when it snowed in the living room.
Oh, yeah. Snowed in the living room. And then, if you recall, Troy and I blocked the air conditioning to the upstairs. We rerouted everything to our room downstairs during the months of August, September, and October.
That sweltering Oklahoma heat. And I'll tell you what, there were a couple individuals too that were not very happy about that. The Bens, both the Bens were not overly thrilled about what you guys were able to do circumventing, because I think didn't Ben figure out about this like months after the fact? Like he somehow figured out that you had gone in and put cardboard in there, and
we stepped Troy's dirty laundry in the vents is what we did. And Joel found out like late October, and I think he may have I think he may have sat on us at one point out of anger, you know, and paddled us.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right.
JC, in that house, we call it the king's bed. That was my bed. Remember the queen bed there? But it was the king's bed, even though it was a queen bed. And the door, when people would slam the door, it would rock my head off my pillow. And you would come in late at night and just totally slam that door. I would come 3 feet off the bed and then back into the wall. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I felt, you know what was so bad? I felt bad. I didn't, here's the sad thing. And my wife would tell you this, and you know, like, I really am, like, intentionally, like, never want to, like, piss people off or upset people or whatever. But I'm also a moron. So I don't pick up on some of these things for a long period of time. And I remember finding out, like, months later that, like, dude, like, you got to, like, cool it with the slam. Because, like, for whatever reason, I didn't think that I was, like, I don't know if I mean, it was a crap door. Let's be honest. It was a bad door. So probably in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm helping get the door closed. And then finally, I think someone, like, I think Troy, who, again, least confrontational person, was like, hey, man, you got to cool it on slamming the door. So I was like, oh, my bad. I had no idea. I was like, I was upsetting.
He wasn't getting enough sleep that year.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just staying up giggling with countless undergrads, not doing it, like, literally accomplishing nothing with these women, just giggling with them, playing raspberries. Okay. So, you got something, Will?
Oh, no. You continue. I feel like if you're in any sort of medical industry with people and animals, I feel like you have good stories, and I like hearing them, because I have a friend who's a vet, and he said one time he had a guy came in with his dog, and the dog was clearly in pain, and he said, well, what's the matter with your dog? And he said, well, we breed dogs, and this is one of my better dogs, male dogs. And he was, you know, doing the nasty with one of our female dogs, and she did this maneuver to where it,
oh no,
broke his no-no. And basically my friend was like, this dog will never breed again. And I thought, that's a great story. And so I'm curious, you have to have some great stories like that.
That's so sad for that dog.
I know, it's terrible.
Dogs have a bone in their penis called the os penis.
Called the what?
It's called the it's not like the Wizard of Oz, but Oz, O-S. O-S, and then O-S, os, and then penis, spelled penis.
The os penis. Okay.
So, can you imagine if we had a bone in there? I mean, it'd be broken all the time. Seriously. See, I feel bad for dogs, to Will's point, and that poor dog's. I hope he's okay. But one story I do recall was years ago, we had a young Doberman pincher that came in vomiting profusely.
I know.
You know, so what do you think? You know, young dog, vomiting, not eating. You're a vet, you think, what did he eat? Right? And dogs eat things pretty regularly, and often they end up passing weird things, but sometimes they get stuck. You know, they can get lodged in the stomach or the small intestine. So this guy, we found out he had, in fact, eaten something he shouldn't have, and it got stuck in his small intestine. So we took him to surgery, and to try to save the poor guy, you know, it's gonna be bad news if we didn't get it out of there, because he's blocked, right? So we did surgery on him and pulled out female undergarments.
Hang on. Whoa.
Yeah, female undergarments. Dog did fine. The problem was when we sent the dog home, wife, we gave the undergarments to her.
Oh no!
They weren't hers.
Oh no!
Yeah.
Oh, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Not her pantyhose. So, generally, just we like to show people what was inside. We didn't think that went through. Not it wasn't her pantyhose.
That is crazy, dude.
Yeah.
Of all the ways to find out your spouse is having an affair, that's...
That situation ended up in what's called a divorce.
That's a great story.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the dog lived, by the way, which is great. But that that always, you know, from that point on, I'm pretty... I always ask, should I show you this?
That's crazy. So you went to vet school for how many years? How many years do you have to go to school to become a vet? Four?
Well, I had to redo one, so five total.
Okay.
I'm kidding, by the way. 4 years.
Is that 4 years on top of undergrad?
Yeah, 8 years total.
Wow.
Yeah, my buddy said, I mean, he said it's like, it's grueling. And you obviously don't get paid what like a four-year medical doctor gets paid. I mean, still do well, but like it's grueling work.
You definitely, for the amount of schooling and how much it costs, which is a big problem in my profession right now, actually. So, but it's getting better and a lot to gain doing this job. It's fun. So I'm mainly cats and dogs, a little bit of wildlife. Our clinic in Tulsa, people bring us all sorts of things that gets injured, you know? So we take in anything from injured squirrels to owls to turtles to armadillos.
Like if somebody brings in a hurt animal, you have to, are you legally required to help that animal?
We're not legally required, no. We do as much as we can, but there's nothing that says, well, you have to fend for this creature that I'm aware of.
So what's the strangest animal that someone's brought in?
Strangest thing I've seen, I think bald eagle, American bald eagle.
Well, are you legally allowed to work on a bald eagle?
No, we can't. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well,
how did they have a bald eagle?
Well, the usually it's the tribes in Oklahoma that can handle the birds, take care of the birds. So, yeah. And then we've had, you know, probably the other things that we see. People bring in snapping turtles. That's probably one of the weirdest things. Like,
what do they want you to do with them? What's wrong with the snapping turtle?
I don't know because I don't want to touch the snapping turtle. It's going to break my ass penis.
Yeah, seriously. Just bite it right off. Oh, my God.
So, what? My friend who's a vet, he's told me all these crazy things, but he said one thing that happens a lot is obviously you deal with animals who are in pain or like animals who maybe have issues with new people, especially people getting in their space. So he's been kicked by a horse, bit by dogs, scratched by cats. He said, like, you really can't get hurt. I assume the same is true for you.
Oh, absolutely. I've had my hands have swollen up from cat bites. I've been bit on the arms, you name it, everywhere. Yeah.
Well, has there ever been one animal that like keeps you up at night where you're like, oh my God, that animal, like I would never want to see that animal get in an alleyway, or if it came in again, I'd refuse to do work on it. Was there like a one cat that just
gave you? Gotta be careful with cats. Yeah, cats will get you. Yeah, there is one that I'm currently taking care of, truly terrified of him. I get cold sweats.
Really?
Yeah, he lunged at me about a year ago, missed my face, grabbed my shirt and ripped a long dress shirt, ripped the sleeve off.
A cat?
No, not a cat. This is a dog.
Oh, I thought this was a cat the whole time. I'm like, what kind of cat is doing that, dude? That's crazy.
Be a hell of a cat. So.
That's scary, dude. That is absolutely horrifying. Now you told me and my wife a story years ago, and I've brought it up to you multiple times, so I apologize, but I never know with you.
Like, sounds like it's not true.
Did you neuter a lemur?
Yes, we did. Yes, I did do that.
So you neutered. So bad. You said you neutered a lemur, and it as you were putting it out, it like to tell the story.
Well, grabbed his groin area with the left hand, and the right hand was on the cage door, just like someone had just kicked you in the balls. And so this was after the surgery. And so it was very much of like, you know, what a man would do when they're in pain in that area. And it made me feel terrible.
Oh, no.
So he looks, and then he just looks at you, and he's like, you did this to me.
Direct eye contact. Direct eye contact.
Makes so, eye contact. Like
that kind of messed with me. Also, when you're dealing with those types of creatures, they can they have opposable thumbs. Yeah, so they have little hands, so they can open things. They can grab syringes from you while you're trying to inject in. They'll try to inject you, potentially. So you have to be careful because they're sneaky.
Can I ask a question, though, real quick? And this is going to be the stupidest question you've ever been asked, but that's just what we do here on Dude Podcast. I'm not familiar with the process of being neutered, nor have I ever had a vasectomy. What is the difference between being neutered and having a vasectomy? Is it the same thing?
That's a good question. I'm happy to explain that.
I appreciate it.
So to neuter, well, I guess the right word would be castration, is to take the entire testicle out of the body.
They're not even there for aesthetics. You can't leave them there for aesthetics.
It's an empty grocery bag. Yeah.
Man.
So,
is it necessary? You can't keep the testes in there just for, you know,
well, the trouble is that for an animal, they maintain their behavior, which can be, you know, a nuisance for people. So that's why they don't castrate humans, I think, just so we can have our testosterone but not reproduce. You know, and that's just basically cutting the vas deferens, the tube where the sperm travels through. That's disconnecting that so it can't flow.
Interesting. Okay.
We do some vasectomies in dogs, but most of the rules, you know, for boarding and leaving situations, they want the animal sterilized.
Could you perform your own vasectomy? Would you even be okay performing your own vasectomy?
I think if I could get over, if someone could numb me up first, maybe. But I think I could also kill myself trying to do it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're chopping there's some pretty big time veins and arteries going down there, Mr. Skaggs.
Well, and imagine doing a 30-minute sit-up, because I have to, you know, be in there looking in that position. I mean, that's a tough yoga pose. While dissecting through your flesh, I would sever some important arteries, I'm sure.
All right, I got one more vet question, then we'll talk Jurgens and we'll wrap it up. All right, so being in the field, you've told some crazy stories. What's the craziest story you've ever been told or you've heard from, like, a friend of a friend or somebody within the... Is there, like, one that sticks out? You're like, oh, my God. Like, that is insane. Like, is there something that, like, haunts you, or like a story that you've heard just from a professional or friend or colleague?
I think the story that sticks out the most actually happened at a place where I worked a while back. And it happened to be, again, it was years ago. It was late, I think, on a Friday afternoon, and we had a young lady, probably mid-20s, roll in at full scream, just top of her lungs screaming that her dog had worms coming out of the dog's body, like worms crawling out of the skin, which doesn't happen, by the way.
Okay, so, I was going to say, is that possible?
No, of course, you know, we had to figure this one out. So, she claimed that, again, the dog had worms coming out of the skin. I actually was the vet on this case initially, so I had to sort of buy in. You know, going, well, I believe you totally. She said, well, come out of the car, I'll prove it to you. Well, we walked out of the car with the dog, and her boyfriend was in a rented BMW, and they had
cocaine everywhere, thrown all over the car, the back seat, thrown all over the dash. It was even in the trash.
Cocaine was everywhere.
Cocaine was everywhere.
Like, it was like they had just eaten powdered donuts.
Dad, or they worked in a bakery, you know. But I was out of her mind. And the guy, literally, eyes wider than DFW, just gets out of his car, looks at me. He burps in my face, and runs down the street in front of the clinic and just sprints off. So we had to play along with her, get her calmed down, agree that we treat the worms, and also call an ambulance.
For him or the dog?
Well, the dog was perfectly fine. Problems with the dog. The tough part is how did they rent the BMW?
Well, thank God worms weren't coming out of that dog's body, and I guess they just had taken an unbelievable amount of cocaine. My Lord. Wow. All right. Well, I know it's getting late. This was awesome, Jason. I just love telling the stories. Is there any last moment, any last parting things you'd like to share with the group?
Just appreciate you guys having me on, and it's exciting to chat with y'all and bring back some strange yet funny memories, you know, and I know there's more to come. Looking forward to, you know, creating fun new ideas. I think life's all about making it fun and just creating your own little world, living it, having a great time, you know.
Well, I think we all certainly do that, and we appreciate that you have created that strange world for us to come in and out of with the Jergens and with your lying to us at any given time. Maybe you're not, but we love it. And you're also a great help to the Tulsa community, the Tulsa Pets. I know people that have brought their pets to you and say that you actually do a fine job, except for, I don't know, some of the weird stuff you do supposedly with the animals, but you know, we won't talk about this.
That?
I'm just kidding. But no, thanks again for jumping on here, man. Great stories. I love talking to you. This is hilarious. And yeah, man.
Thanks for joining us, man.
Don't forget it. All right. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you, boys.
All right. So we'll just end it with this. Like, subscribe, watch on YouTube, whatever.
We love the comments. Speaking of the comments, we got our first negative comment. And we, JC and I, did a little celebration. We felt pretty good about it. So thank you to, I'll keep on calling him Kevin, but his name is Steven. Steven, we'll win you over at some point, buddy. I know you think we're lame and cringe, but buddy, we're coming for you. We're going to be your bestie.
We're going to win you back, buddy. We're going to win you back. There's no doubt. And apparently we also maybe offended the foodie community by talking about my father-in-law's egg soup, which we both did not know was a thing. Apparently it is a thing. And
we bring the controversy every week. And this, you know, last week we talked about soup and we, you know, the soup community.
The soup community has come out in droves in support of that egg soup, which again, we thought wasn't necessarily a thing. May have called it butthole soup. Apparently, there's people who love that butthole soup, that delicious, delicious egg-based butthole soup.
Lesson learned.
Lesson learned. Like, subscribe, keep it coming, duties, and we'll talk to you later. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Bye.